Hey there, fellow writers. This special season of the Hashtag AmWriting podcast is sponsored by Author Accelerator, where you can become a book coach to build a side gig or a full-time career. Author Accelerator's book coaches come from all backgrounds. They're talented editors who've learned through rigorous training and ongoing education to coach writers through every step of the process, providing feedback, encouragement, and tough love. Learn more about becoming a coach at bookcoaches.com. Hello, and welcome to another special edition of the Hashtag AmWriting podcast, the working bookshelf, also known as Hashtag AmReading about writing. I am KJ Delantonia, New York Times bestselling author of The Chicken Sisters and How to Be a Happier Parent, and also a former editor at The Times.
And I'm Jenny Nash, author, book coach, entrepreneur, and creator of the Book Coach Certification Program at Author Accelerator.
In every episode of this series, Jenny and I will discuss and debate a pair of popular books on writing, focusing on a particular topic like structure, creativity, characterization, or productivity.
We'll tell you why these books are our favorites, then we'll engage in heated debate over which is better in our Fight Me segment before we get sidetracked into a discussion of the topic itself.
The result will be our usual actionable, inspirational advice that will help you get your work done, whether you're just getting started, you're right in the middle of something, transitioning from one role to another, or are just a seasoned pro who's got everything down. And if you are, write me because I want to hear more about that.
Today, we're talking about productivity.
Excellent. And my book about productivity is Deep Work by Cal Newport, which any fan of the podcast is going to have heard me rant and rave with enthusiasm about before.
And I'm talking about 2000 to 10,000 by Rachel Aaron, which is a tiny little self-published book that I love.
Yeah, that's good stuff. All right, this is just going to be like massive book love fest here, I think. Okay, so let me tell you what I do love about Deep Work. I love that this is going to make you really think about how you spend your time. This Cal Newport pulls no punches about what things are actually worthwhile to your career, what things are going to get you to wherever it is that you want to go versus Twitter, in a nutshell. And, you know, he really demands that you take a hard look at how you spend your minutes and your hours and figure out if you're doing that in the way that is best going to move you and your career forward.
Love it so much. So this book by Rachel Aaron is How to Write Faster, Write Better, and Write More of What You Love. It is a very personal breakdown of how she actually learned to write more words. It's literally how do you get from 2,000 to 10,000 words in a writing session. And it actually has a similar-ish premise, which is that you have to be hyper self-aware of what you're doing. I mean, she talks about, do you write better when there's music on? Do you write better when there's other people around? Do you write better in the morning? Do you write better at night?
And she spreadsheeted it, right? Like she sat down and tried because she couldn't get, she would have more time and she still wouldn't get more words, or she would have, and she couldn't figure out what was going wrong.
That's right. And it's, she's a working writer. She makes her family's living by her words. So at a certain point in a writing career, you're on deadline. You got to get the work done. You got to get it done faster. There's really no way around that if you're trying to meet publisher deadlines and get the work done. And she just has a, just no BS, super charming, very personal way of how she did it. And she urges you, the reader, to do the same thing.
So I would say this is a book for if you can't find the time to get the writing even started. This is step back, look at your whole life, and where you're putting your time in and what is important to you, and then you know, figure out how you're going to put, make writing a priority within that. So definitely it's sort of for if you're at a different point in your productivity needs.
So I have a confession about deep work, which is that I didn't finish reading it. It was one of the books that I stopped reading, which you can do in as an adult. Isn't it great to be an adult?
I love that too. And I'm going to bet it's because of my red flags. So, but you go ahead.
Yeah, why? I bet it is because of red flags. I don't know what your red flags are.
Red flags.
Right. But I was like, okay, Cal Newport, like I was a fan of his earlier books. He had some really interesting, he started to write quite young and, you know, for a really specific audience of productivity, which was college students. And, you know, so I've sort of followed his books and I'm a fan, but it was like, it just the whole thing, it had this feeling to me of not living in the real world, like no email. Like how is that even possible for a regular
human? His current book is in fact called The Case Against Email. And I want to read it just out of sheer curiosity.
I mean, same.
But yeah.
But I also just got the feeling that I could not shake that the guy has a wife at home making dinner and I don't know, vacuuming the floor and making and answering all the email. That's what I kept thinking, that there's either an assistant, a secretary, a wife, or somebody who is doing that labor for him. And the fact that he didn't address it, I just couldn't take it anymore. And I stopped reading.
Yeah, I'm gonna say, I mean, we've actually interviewed him on the podcast, and I think he does put in here time for his family. I mean, he is, so I'm not going to fault him for like I fault him for the wife at home premise a little bit in the stories of others that he talks about. You know, Darwin and his, the time he, Jung, I think is another one, you know, and the time that they put into stuff, and that's like wife and servants and goodness knows what. So there is an overarching privileged white male of this that is hard to deny. But I actually think that with him, it's almost more of like a talent privilege, because he's got this whole nother career that he has of being a programmer and a data scientist, in which he is apparently so skilled that people will move mountains to get things out of his way so that he will do that for you. And for most of us, we are not in that position. If I stop responding to my editor's emails, I think that she's going to stop buying my books. I am, you know, because I'm not like, I'm a replaceable commodity. I think I write good books, but other people write good books too. And they also answer their emails. So yeah, I mean,
but that being said, the idea I think that both of these books get at is the concept of self-awareness and
yes,
the concept of intention. That if your intention is to be a writer of books, there are certain things that you have to do in order to have that productivity in your life. There just are. You
can't they both, just. Yeah, they both make you recognize that like there's choice involved in some part of what you do. And I've got other productivity books that are, it's the same thing. Do you have a choice about diapering and toting your baby around? No. Do you have a choice about what you do while said baby sleeps? Yes. Do you have a choice about, whatever work you do that actually puts the bread on the table? No. Do you have a choice about Netflix at night? Yeah, you actually do. And that piece of hard love, I appreciate and adore that, because too many people are like, well, you know, at the end of the day, you're probably too tired. So try to find your fresh moment. And it's like, you know, if you can't find your fresh moment, use your tired moment, or you're not getting anywhere. Like,
right. Or
yeah.
So I recently had an experience of really needing to be productive within the constraints of an extremely busy work life. I run a company called Author Accelerator. I am a book coach to individual writers. And I had made a decision that I wanted to write a book my own self. And it was a book that I self-publishing. It's a short book. It's a book I already had a lot of content for. It's a book about writing, and I just, it was going to get done in this time frame. It just, that was a commitment that I made to myself. And I really, really, really was struggling with the productivity nature of it. And the reason that I'm telling a story and sharing the story is that I had no positive, happy energy moments to give to this work. They just did not exist. And I, every time I came to this work, I came with a little bit of resentment and panic. And it was not a positive, happy experience. And one of the things I do like about both of these books, so you may then ask yourself, why did you even do it, Jenny? And it's like, I had some overarching, really clear motivations. It was part of some larger goals that I really wanted to do this book. I have a great love and affinity for the topic of this book, but the actual doing it was really, really, really hard for me. And I used some of the things from these, both of these books, this idea of letting something else go. You have to make choices to let things go, and choosing the best time of day to do this work. And Cal Newport talks about that, about the different ways of finding deep work, and the very notion about shutting down the noise of the Twitter and the email and the this and that. All those things absolutely have to come into play if you're going to get writing done. They just do. There's no way around it. And so, you know, both of these books, as well as other books, productivity books that I have loved and used, guided me during this rough time, and I got through. So I don't know, what's the lesson of that? You've been there.
I have absolutely been there. I would argue that I'm probably there right now. I'm just really struggling to get work done because I'm letting other things take priority. And I have to I need to sit down and recognize that, and I need to fix it because I've got deadline. I'm in a no joking around moment, but the mojo is not coming very easily. So,
well, and yeah. You've been a professional in this business for a long time, and you've worked with a lot of professionals in this business for a long time. And I think the lesson here, maybe that I now know what it is it's not, productivity is not always being in the flow and the happy place and the mojo. It's not always like that. Sometimes it's a grind, and, you know, writing a book is a long, no matter how, what kind of book, it's a long process. It takes a lot of decisions that have to be made. There's a lot of work that has to be done. There's a lot of steps. There's a lot of stuff. And it, I don't know, I think maybe expecting a certain amount of pain.
Yeah. And clearing your desk for the pain. And prioritizing the pain. That's, you know, both of these books, I mean, Cal Newport really makes you make an argument for everything that you do besides your one priority, whatever that is. And if we are more normal people with a couple of priorities, you know, a day job or kids or, you know, other responsibilities plus our primary creative priority, then you really do have to look at, like, you have to look at all the other things that take up your time and say, you know, can I remove that somehow? Can I not do it? Can I pay someone else to do it?
Well, and the premise of deep work is that it's not just minutes. It's also quality of time that you have to have the time to, I mean, it's called deep work. And he uses a lot of writers as examples because writing is deep work. And there's actually, that gets me to my dog egg page in the book, because Rachel Aaron has a way of discussing this that I reference all the time. And she has this really interesting idea that there's three It's a triangle. There's three pillars to getting your work done, to being more productive. And one is knowledge, or know what you're writing before you write it. The second is time, which is, you know, what we've been talking about, make time to do the thing. And then the third is enthusiasm. So in the experience that I was just talking about in my own work, I had the enthusiasm for this project on a big level. I didn't have it on a day-to-day level. I made the time for this project. And the first bit about knowledge, know what you're writing before you write it, I absolutely had that. So I had the three pillars, which is what carried me through this dark time. But the dog-eared page is where she says, it's page 12. She says, here I was, desperate for time, floundering in a scene, and yet I was doing the hardest work of writing, figuring out what needs to happen to move the story forward in the most dramatic and exciting fashion, in the most time-consuming way possible, i.e. in the middle of the writing itself. If you want to write faster, the first step is to know what you're writing before you write it. So her revelation was, you can't actually write your way to figuring out what you want to write. It's a waste of time. You can do it. I've done it. She's done it. It's possible to do it, but it's really inefficient. And figuring out what you're writing before you write it is, it's the reason I recommend this book all the time, because it's a thing I see a lot of writers doing, is trying to write their way to figuring out what they want to say. And that work is hard, and it takes a lot of hand-wringing. And I think it's the thing that trips a lot of people up, and writing your way to it feels natural and normal, because after all, you're a writer, so shouldn't writers write? And it does work, but it's inefficient. So when you're getting to a place in your career where you're looking to be more efficient and more productive, you have to figure out a way past that. And so that's the key idea that I take away from this book, which is divorce the figuring out from the writing itself, and that will make you more efficient.
Yes, I think she calls it pre-writing. And if she doesn't, that's what Serena and I call it. And, you know, it's that place where you sort of just start going, you know, and here he's going to get in the taxi, but the taxi is, you know, going to turn out to be driven by the vampire. And then the vampire will shout, stop. And the girl will come running out, and the taxi will almost run over there. Like, you write it like that.
Yeah.
And instead of, you know, stop, said the young man as he strode across the, I mean, hopefully, you know, do a little better than that. But, you know, it saves so much time. I'm Serena Bowen, and I both swear by that book and that method. It's great. And sort of the Cal Newport version, I mean, there's not really my dog-eared page is kind of, it's not the Cal Newport version of that, but it's his practical advice. So this book, Deep Work, is divided into sort of why you should bother, which, okay, check, thanks, and how to bother. And he talks about draining the shallows. And so he talks about spending less time on the pieces of your work that are not as important. And that this does not tie to the pre-writing at all, because pre-writing is super important. I think what struck me as you were saying that is that deep work is all about giving yourself time to do all the things that are part of the writing work. So that pre-writing and the thinking that comes before the pre-writing, that stuff is key. Like, he'll tell you he does it while he has these very specific walks, and he intentionally allows boredom and doesn't fill up his time so that his brain can be stewing around whatever it is that someone who dedicates most of their time to programming and data work thinks about. That's kind of a different mindset than mine. But, you know, so he's all about creating the hours that you need, not just to get 2,000 or 10,000 words on the page, but to figure out what it is that those 2,000 or 10,000 words are going to say.
I mean, that's good. That's a good point. I want to like that book more than I do. I really do. And I know people that I really admire, like you, who really love it. And it makes me want to maybe give it another chance. But
well, you have to put certain things aside. I mean, dude is young. He's not, you know, maybe he needs to put some deep work into thinking about who can not do email. Right? Yeah. I mean, this is a book for the higher levels of professional, or at least this is a book from that perspective. I think it can be useful at any level, but you do have to kind of,
yeah,
you do have to kind of pat him on his probably blonde head and go, okay, I'm going to take what I can do from this and I'm going to leave you the rest.
It would probably be just, is there a book now that I'm thinking about it? I would love to see a book on how to get the work done by somebody who has 5 kids and a job and is a single mom and, you know, sort of the opposite type of person.
That would be awesome. I do not know of that book.
I don't know of that book either. It would be awesome though to have that. I mean, it's a little bit of the
J.K.
Rowling story, you know, like on your last dime.
Her answer is what anybody's answer is. You got a babysitter. You can't, you know, nobody works during nap time. Let us don't pretend that we work during nap time. I mean, I said earlier, you do have choice with what you do. And yes, you do. But realistically, you got to trade those little spawn off on your, you know, you got to find your neighbor and you got to, if you don't have any cash, you got to barter. Trade.
Yeah, there's a writer, May Respicio, who is a Filipino woman, and she writes middle grade, and she's doing very, very well in her career. And she wrote her first book. She had little kids. She was actually working at the UCLA Writers Program. She was on staff at the Writers Program serving other writers. And she wrote her first book, she said, in 5-minute increments. That she literally would say, I have 5 minutes, I'm writing for 5 minutes. And that's how she got her first book done. And I love that.
If you are pre-writing, then you can do that much more effectively too. And the great thing about Rachel Aaron's pre-writing is that you can do that while you're driving. You can do that while you're sitting and supposedly watching somebody's sporting event.
I did that. Did you do that? I have a little notebook on the stadium thing next to me.
Yeah. Yeah, totally. I'm not.
It's like before cell phone days.
Right. Yeah, no, absolutely. Or, you know, you can get that pre-writing piece of it done. And then, because the 5 minutes work if you know what you're going to write. They don't work so well if you also have to go back and figure out, like, where was I? And you know, so from 2K to 10K, that will help you in a way that realistically Cal probably won't. So you might have won this one.
I might have won this one. All right. So the 5 things that I love about Rachel Aaron's book. I'm finding this is a little bit of a theme, but it's super short. Look how tiny it is. It's so short. I actually also love that she self-published it. That is a thing we could talk about for days, because there is a time and a place, absolutely 100%, to go agent and traditional book deal. There's a time to go hybrid. There's a time for all kinds of different ways to publish. But I always say publishing is just a tool to get your book into the hands of readers. This book has done exceptionally well.
Yep.
A lot of people love it. It's, you know, and it's a tiny little thing. She self-published her own self. It's cheap. It's like, but it's so powerful. So I love that she just put it out her own self and did that. So that's a thing I love about this book. I think this is a book for the real working writer, for somebody this is really what you're doing. This is your work. This is your job. She really is speaking to that person. I love that there's data. It's data backed. It's science backed. It's her own experience, but I love anything that marries a different way of thinking to writing. I think that's always really powerful. And here she brings in the spreadsheet and the self-analysis and the science to help her figure out how to write more efficiently. It's so good. And it's just packed with actionable ideas.
All right. Well, I still have five things that I love about deep work. I love that deep work pushes you to strive for big goals and big effort. This is about really owning how important this is to you and to the world that we get this more thoughtful stuff done. It demands deep thought about the choices that you make with your time. He does not let anything off lightly. You know, he doesn't accept, but Instagram, you know, Bookstagram helps me find readers. He's like, really? How many readers? Let's figure this out. I mean, and I still think Bookstagram helps me find readers. Plus I think it's fun, but you know, this is like, really, let's take a deep dive into what Facebook is really doing. Like, do you need 1,000 Facebook friends or do you need 10 real friends? Of course he didn't write this during a pandemic. It asks you to justify anything that takes time away from your big goals and big effort besides your family. He's pretty good about owning the family. It forces you to be aware that you're making choices. And this one's kind of funny, but the male gaze that is this book will kind of make you go, oh, that's what life is like when you do prioritize your work. That's what life is like when society and the people around you prioritize your work. I want some of that. How can I get it? Because sometimes as women and, you know, heads of families, if we are that, we let other things take precedence when we maybe don't have to. We think we have to, but you know, if you're looking at it, it's like, well, would a single dad put this time into whatever this thing is that I, you know, what I'm doing, or would he just figure, hell, vacuuming once a month is fine. He would go with vacuuming once. I mean, this is, I'm gender stereotyping here, but sometimes sometimes approaching things as though you were that privileged individual can be helpful.
That's good. I'm gonna give it another chance. You've convinced all right. me.
I'm gonna get 2K to 10K out and reread it just because I love it.
I think I even know where deep work is on my shelf. So that I'm gonna give it another try. So
excellent.
You won me over, so that's good. Thanks for listening to The Working Bookshelf. And next week, we're going to be talking about books when you're ready to up your game.
Yeah. And it's going to be fun because we disagree. That's where the juice, that's where the good stuff is. All right. Well, thanks again for joining us today on this podcast. And as always, keep your butt in the chair and your head in the game.
The Hashtag AmWriting podcast is produced by Andrew Perilla. Our intro music, aptly titled Unemployed Monday, was written and played by Max Cohen. Andrew and Max were paid for their time and their creative output because everyone deserves to be paid for their work.